Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
Welcome to SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Thank you so much for joining us. We're at 866-997-4748. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. Chris Hauselt's our executive producer. The great Thea Harper produces our show out of Brooklyn. I come to you today from Los Angeles. It is great to be back. Thank you to Dean Obadala and his entire crew for being such a wonderful live lead-in. We are celebrating the birthday of the legend herself, Bessie Smith, who was born 130 years ago today. It's also the anniversary of the first ever Ford Mustang rolling off the showroom floor. That was 60 years ago today. Jackie Robinson broke baseball's color line on this date in 1947. The Titanic hit the iceberg on this date in 1912. And it's the birthday of Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched. So we're glad you could be with us. 866-997-4748. There's a lot we got to get to, my friends. So glad you could be with us. As you know, Iran unleashed a barrage of medium-range missiles and armed drones on Israel. Retaliation for the airstrike on their consulate in Damascus a couple of weeks ago that some folks have forgotten about. A defensive effort by Israeli, Jordanian, U.S., U.K., and French troops stopped 99% of the missiles before they could reach the targets inside Israel. Israel's war cabinet has promised the response, but has not said when it will occur. Iran released a statement calling the matter settled, calling their mission a success. So logically, it's up to somebody out there to make things much, much worse. At the ceasefire talks, representatives of Hamas offered to release 20 hostages by the end of a six-week halt of military operations across Gaza, which will satisfy no one and keep this thing going on for even longer. Also today, by a 6-3 vote, don't know if you heard about this, the Supreme Court is allowing Idaho to enforce their ban on gender-affirming care for minors, even though it's not recommended by the American Medical Association, the American Pediatric Association, the American Psychiatric Association, but the three liberals dissented. Hey, all of you lefty guys in swing states who were too pure to vote for Hillary Clinton back in 2016, thank you guys so much. You know, I always try to thank all the guys without uteruses in swing states who couldn't compromise their liberal integrity by voting for Hillary Clinton back in 2016. I always give you guys credit for every time we hear about a woman who has been bleeding to death in a hospital parking lot because she can't get abortion care. That's, again, thanks to all the liberal guys who had to go for Jill Stein. You guys are awesome. But I don't spend enough time giving you guys credit for helping to make a Supreme Court that's going to try to drive up the suicide rate of transgender young people. So you liberals in those states without uteruses, well done. Also, the CDC announced long-term studies have shown there is no link between COVID vaccines and cardiac deaths among young people. And the Supreme Court has killed the right to protest in three states. They decided to not hear McKesson versus Doe, which essentially kills the right to organize mass protests in Mississippi, Texas, and Louisiana. This comes from a lawsuit filed by a cop over an injury in a 2016 protest in Louisiana, which tried to hold DeRay McKesson, who's been on this show from Black Lives Matter, accountable for the actions of the attendees of the protest. The Supreme Court's move has really made a lot of people scared about what it means for free speech and public assembly. What's it going to mean for future protests? Also, this week, Botox is 22 years old. Don't look surprised. We're at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. Tonight, we're going to be joined by the sublime Miss Rhonda Hansom, who joins us every Monday. I'm also pleased to welcome back to the show one of my favorite guests, Pastor John Pavlovitz, who has a wonderful new book out that I recommend for anybody trying to stay sane in the era of Elon Musk and Donald Trump. It's called Worth Fighting For, Finding Courage and Compassion When Cruelty is Trending. Pastor John's a great guy. He's done the show before. Much, much better person than me. You don't want to miss that. But for now, well, let me just thank everybody who turned out over the weekend at the beautiful Pantages Theater in Minneapolis for the first show of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberals Save the World Comedy Tour in conjunction with Live Nation. Did I get all that right? Yes. Thank you, guys. What a great audience. Gorgeous theater. I hope you all had a good time. We had a blast. Thank you for the standing ovations, and thank you for being at the meet and greet. It was just wonderful. Stephanie Miller, Hal Sparks, Frangela, all killed. I was more or less tolerated, and it was really, really a terrific party. The next show is in just 2 weeks. We're coming back to Philly, and that's going to be Saturday, the 27th of April. Now, the last time we played Philly was 2016, right before the Democrats came in for their convention. And Stephanie Miller almost got killed that night. She fell in the orchestra pit. I dove in and fished her out. And then Gloria Allred, who happened to be hanging backstage, took her to the hospital. And let me tell you, you don't want to see Gloria Allred show up with your patient. But everything went great. Steph was fine. I wound up having to do like a 45-minute set that night. But we are so thrilled to finally make the return to Philly next weekend. Go to sexyliberal.com or livenation.com for tickets. It's going to be a real party. Glenn Kirshner will be joining us, and I hope to see you there. Okay, let's do a show. I want to begin with a public service announcement. According to a new Gallup survey, only 26% of Americans get at least 8 hours of sleep per night. Did you know that? Just a little over one in four. 10 years ago, 34% of us got at least 8 hours sleep. Now, just 26% of us. 20% of Americans, one out of five, say they sleep less than 5 hours per night. And women are less likely than men to say they get enough sleep. Women between the ages of 30 and 49 are more women and men between the ages of 30 and 49 are more sleep deprived than any other age group. Makes sense. Research has linked insufficient sleep to increased risk of heart disease, cancer, obesity, stroke, depression, anxiety, and dementia. I say that if some of you have a hard time sleeping and you do a lot of stimulants to keep you awake and give you a lot of energy, please be cautious, because sleep deprivation can happen at any time. It can happen to presidents, and it can happen to criminals. But I repeat myself. Let's talk about history. Hat and Bible salesman Donald Trump made it today when he became the first U.S. president to sit for his own criminal trial after leaving the Oval Office. And for a day where nothing much happened, quite a bit happened. We want to hear from you guys throughout this trial for your thoughts on this and where it's going to go. Donald Trump has tried everything he could do with his supporters' money to slow the four criminal cases against him. He's a guy with six bankruptcies, over 40 sexual assault allegations, over 7,000 lawsuits, zero knowledge of how the government worked. But now the day has come. All the money in the world will not help him delay what's been dubbed his hush money case. This is the Manhattan criminal case against him, brought by DA Alvin Bragg a year ago. The former host of Celebrity Apprentice is facing 34 counts of falsifying business records. He faces up to 4 years in jail. This is his first criminal trial, and it could be the only one that's going to happen before Election Day of this year. So for at least 4 days a week, Donald is going to have to be in court. He's going to have to be listening to the allegations that he falsified business records to cover up a hush money payment to a porn star just before the 2016 election, a bit of fraud that his former lawyer has already gone to jail for. Reports are he will be sleeping at Trump Tower, but apparently he'll be sleeping wherever the urge strikes. We'll get to that. I just want to say, before we get into this, I want you all to stop viewing the Alvin Bragg case as, oh, it's the first time a president's gone on trial. Let's look at history here and be optimistic. Start viewing it as the first time a U.S. president's gone on trial this year. Now, don't confuse this with the two trials of him cheating to win the 2020 election. Those are coming. This is him cheating earlier. This is him cheating in 2016. shortly before that election, so long ago. You remember the story? But let me repeat the details because they do all tend to blend together, don't they? Trump wanted to kill a story about his alleged hookup with Stormy Daniels, a quality actor. So he allegedly told Michael Cohen, his lawyer, friend of the show, full disclosure, to pay off Ms. Daniels through a shell company so she would not say anything in public that would threaten his campaign. And afterwards, Trump funneled $400,000 to Michael Cohen in installments, but he hid the installments by listing them as legal expenses for a retainer that didn't really exist. So Michael Cohen paid Stormy $130,000. That's at the heart of what these 34 felony counts are about. Trump is accused of falsifying business records to cover it up. He's not being charged for sleeping with Stormy Daniels or Karen McDougal or the many other women he hooked up with who have accused him of wrongdoing. He's being charged with fraud. Again, I know it's hard to believe, but this is a fraud case. Now, Alvin Bragg's office is going to highlight the story of Karen McDougal, herself a former Playboy model who wanted to sell her story of an affair to the National Enquirer. The National Enquirer, of course, has long-standing ties to Mr. Trump because classy finds its own level, and they like to buy silence of people who might hurt Trump. So during a press conference last week with House Speaker Mike Johnson down at Mar-a-Lago, Trump said, "I will testify, absolutely." I'd be very surprised if that actually happened. I would do a little dance, though, because what do you think Donald Trump's lawyers are more scared about? Him testifying and lying? Or him testifying and telling the truth? It's actually a fascinating case, and it's going to be a really good civics lesson for those who pay attention. And of course, high school kids, they'll be paying attention. They're talking about this in schools right now. So Alvin Bragg has argued that Donald Trump intended to violate one state election law, one federal election law. First off, he said that Trump and Michael Cohen violated the Federal Election Campaign Act by making unlawful campaign contributions. That was what the payoff was. At the direction of a candidate, that would be Trump. They illegally spent money to help win an election and didn't declare the expense. And that's what Michael Cohen pled guilty to in federal court. So it's not too shocking to think that Donald Trump, considering he is the unindicted co-conspirator, was intending to break the law by being a part of this scheme. And also, Alvin Bragg is arguing that Donald Trump violated New York election law that forbids any conspiracy to promote or prevent the election of any person to a public office by unlawful means. So Donald Trump did, before the trial, what any responsible innocent man would do, spend all night bashing the Manhattan DA and your judge. What a putz. At 10 a.m. Eastern time this morning, Trump blasts out a fundraising note on his website. What's that called again? Wealth disposal, I think. Asking his supporters to chip in to help his campaign. And by his campaign, meaning pay his lawyers. He posted, "They're just a deep state plot from radical Democrats to come after you. And I'm the only thing standing in their way." He then said, "My trial just started. I'm going to be honest with you, friend. I don't know what could happen. I could be locked up for life." That's how scared he is. He's groveling to his own grovelers for five more nickels. So before the trial, one of many, again, got underway today, here's Trump giving a statement to reporters focusing on his perceived political persecution.
"This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar says this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case." And they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought.
No one has said
this. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much."
He sounds good, doesn't he? He sounds really well rested and very energetic and ready to get in there and fight. Doesn't he? Doesn't sound sleepy. This jury selection part is going to last a couple of weeks, and this whole trial may go until June, and Donald Trump is going to have to be in the courtroom for most of it. Now, he's tried to get the judge to recuse himself. He's brought up the judge's daughter's work as a Democratic political consultant. Judge Mershon has refused to step aside. He's noted the ruling by a judicial ethics commission that found his daughter's work posed no conflict for him, so Mershon denied another motion for recusal today. Now, things got pretty interesting early. Joshua Steinglass is one of the lead prosecutors, and he wanted to introduce evidence about Karen McDougal. Again, she was the other former Playboy model who claimed to have had a real affair with Donald Trump, like for a year. Stormy Daniels has hooked up with him a couple times, but you know, this was where Donald Trump thought her story would be damaging to his campaign and was involved in securing the rights to the story. Now, Donald Trump's lawyers said the evidence about Karen McDougal literally is just salacious, has no value. The prosecution protested that, saying the judge has already permitted evidence about Karen McDougal. Finally, Judge Mershon said his previous ruling on McDougal stands, but he's not going to let them talk about the fact that Trump's wife was pregnant at the time. Very interesting day with this judge. He sided with the prosecution quite a bit, but with Trump just enough to show he's fair. He ruled that Karen McDougal's story is admissible. And again, she was with Trump for a year. Her story was part of the catch and kill scheme that Trump and the National Enquirer hatched up together. So that's a big win for the prosecution because it's fun and it's going to be really interesting learning more about her. The National Enquirer story is interesting because the prosecution wants to tell a story about how Trump used the tabloid media to shape public opinion to help his campaign. And Donald Trump's lawyers don't want any of that stuff brought up. They say it's extraneous. Now, Trump got a big win today because Judge Mershon ruled that they cannot play the infamous tape of him on Access Hollywood saying he likes to grab women by the pussy, where he more or less confesses to doing what many women have accused him of doing. Now, the judges have said you can question witnesses about the tape, but it'll be prejudicial to allow the actual video to be played. So that's not going to happen. The judge also said that he's not going to allow any testimony about any women who came out and made accusations against Trump after that tape aired, which is fair. The most interesting part of the day to me was when Judge Mershon issued the Parker warnings, which we're all subject to if you're on trial. He said these Parker warnings take on special significance, and he has to ask Trump to make sure he understands. He says, if you disrupt the proceedings in any way, the law permits the court to exclude you from the courtroom. Do you understand? And Trump said, yes. The judge also said that there was a threat of him. Well, here, you have the right to be present during the trial and to assist your attorneys. Do you understand? Yes. If you disrupt the proceedings, you can be excluded and committed to jail based on your conduct, and the trial will continue in your absence. Do you understand? I do. If you do not show up, there will be an arrest. Do you understand? I do. Outside the court, there were thousands of Trump supporters angrily a couple of dozen, maybe. Yeah, they brought their flags. Trump 2024, Trump or death. A couple dozen people were in the park across the street. The New York Republicans Club, the New York Young Republicans Club, advertised a rally for Trump event. And not a lot of young Republicans showed up. In fact, all of the pro-Trump demonstrators were deeply outnumbered by the hundreds of news media professionals who were there on the scene. Now, we went through how they're not going to allow any accusations of sexual assault that came after the Access Hollywood tape. And Steinglass, again, that's the prosecutor, was reading social media posts from Trump about Michael Cohen into the evidence. And Cohen was Trump's lawyer when all this was happening. He's a key witness here. Steinglass was trying to establish that Donald Trump was engaging in a pressure campaign. So he's reading a lot of old tweets. And he praised Michael Cohen to keep him from cooperating with prosecutors. And then once Michael Cohen did cooperate with prosecutors, Trump couldn't stop talking about what a liar he was. Yes, what I'm trying to tell you is the tweets are coming back to haunt him. Now, all of this was pretty interesting. All of it's historic, but you have to have one big gossipy moment of the day. And that came in the late morning when Maggie Haberman reported herself that Donald Trump, in the hearing, appeared to be sleeping. She said his head dropped down, his mouth went slack. He appeared to jolt awake after a few minutes of his lawyer passing him notes. Preet Bharara said, "I've never heard of a defendant falling asleep at his own trial, let alone on the first day." Maggie Haberman showed up later on the day on Jake Tapper on CNN, and spoiler alert, that was the story Jake Tapper wanted to hear about. Give a listen.
Maggie, I have to ask, you guys have been, at the Times, have been live blogging this event. And 40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep. And, you know, repeatedly his head would fall down. There have been other moments in other trials, like the E.G. Carroll trial, which was around the corner in January, where he appeared very still and seemed as if he might be sleeping, but then he would move. This time, he didn't pay attention to a note that his lawyer, Todd Blanche, passed him. His jaw kept falling on his chest and his mouth kept going slack. Now, you know, sometimes people do fall asleep during court proceedings, but it's notable given the intensity of this morning and a lot of what was being argued.
That's all that mattered. The internet was lit on fire, and Sleepy Don trended worldwide. Sleepy Don at one point, I think, became the top trending subject in America, which is understandable. He's been calling Joe Biden sleepy, and our friend Bob Seska reminds us in 2016, he said of Hillary Clinton, "She doesn't have the stamina. I said she doesn't have the stamina. I don't believe she does have the stamina." And Hillary Clinton sat for 11 hours with congressional testimony that year without falling asleep. So that was the real headline of the day, that Trump, for whatever reason, pharmaceutical or health-wise, couldn't stay awake the first day of the most important trial he's ever had so far. He's the first president whose political fate and legal fate, before it can be decided by voters, will be decided by a jury of 12. Now, after lunch, they began trying to select a jury, and everyone knew that would be hard. Finding a jury that can judge one of the most famous and divisive people alive in a fair way, I want it to be fair. And the first round of 100 potential jurors showed how hard it's going to be. More than half of them said they could not hear the case against Trump fairly. They were immediately excused. The judge read aloud to all the prospective jurors a list of people who might serve as witnesses or be mentioned during the trial, asking if they recognize the names. Names like Rudolph Giuliani in the city of New York. He asked if you would know this name, or Stephen Bannon, or Jared Kushner, or Ivanka Trump. Well, you know how that went today? 96 New Yorkers walked into the courthouse as possible jurors. Zero were selected on day one. Here's Trump after the trial's first day telling reporters how all this legal drama is keeping him from the graduation of the child whose mother he was cheating on when the child was born.
We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. Very proud of the fact that he did so well, and was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial.
Okay. For the record, the question is to ask, what's your son's birthday? Just to see if he knows it. But it turns out Barron is graduating on Friday, May 17th, which is a date that the court is not in session. So please, please get vaccinated against the whiny little bitch disease. Now, I know I'm going a little long, but it was just a packed old day. It's a real case. It's an important case. It's a case that matters. Falsifying business records is a misdemeanor in New York law, but if it's done with the intent to commit another crime or conceal the commission thereof, that makes it a felony. And in the indictment, Alvin Bragg said that Donald Trump lied about the payments with the intent to violate election law. And that is what turns a misdemeanor into a felony. There's three other strong cases against this guy in three other jurisdictions, and they're all arguably more important than this. But the classified documents case is being delayed because the judge is corrupt and hired by the defendant. The Supreme Court is doing everything they can do to delay the most important criminal trial in American history, Trump's federal election obstruction case. And of course, Because of Fani Willis's personal life, they have found a way to delay the very complicated RICO case in Georgia. But hey, don't feel bad. Donald Trump's stock plummeted at least 18% more today. It erased hundreds of millions of dollars from the company's market value. That stock has dropped by more than 50% since it first rallied 2 weeks ago. And by the way, shortly before court adjourned for the day, guess what happened? Donald Trump's campaign sent out one more fundraising email. This one lied and said he had just stormed out of court. So it's going to pick up again tomorrow. More jury selection starting at 9:30 a.m. on the East Coast. This hush money trial will last about 6 to 8 weeks. We hope it's all done by Memorial Day. Don't feel bad if you fall asleep during it as well. It's still very important. But I'm just going to ask you, please, please, it's hard for Donald Trump. It's very embarrassing for him to be there. Don't mock him for falling asleep. Don't call him Sleepy Don. Look, in fairness, all of Donald Trump's wives and Stormy Daniels, they've gotten through humiliating experiences by falling asleep, too. We want to know what you guys think. We're at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT. When we come back, more of your calls, the situation with Iran and Israel, and of course, Donald Trump's first day in court was only the second most embarrassing thing he's done this week. Wait till you hear his history lesson about the Battle of Gettysburg. I'm John Fugelsang. I'm so glad you're with us. We're at 866-997-4748, and we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm John Fugelsang. This is SiriusXM Progress. Taking your calls at 866-997-4748. We'll be joined shortly by comedian Rhonda Hansom. So as you guys know by now, over the weekend it was pretty scary and pretty interesting in the Middle East. Iran launched 300 attack drones and missiles against Israel Saturday night in retaliation for the airstrike in Syria on the Iranian embassy, which killed an Iranian general. Now, Israel said it intercepted 99% of Iran's 170 drones and 30-plus cruise missiles and 120-plus ballistic missiles. U.S. forces in the region shot down some of the drones. Iran's foreign minister told his British counterpart that Tehran does not want increased tension, but they will respond instantly and more forcefully than before if Israel retaliates to this retaliation. In the Oval Office, Joe Biden commented on the success of Israel and the U.S. and partners in repelling Saturday's retaliation strike by Iran.
Iran launched an unprecedented aerial attack against Israel, and we mounted an unprecedented military effort to defend Israel. Together with our partners, we defeated that attack. The United States is committed to Israel's security. We're committed to a ceasefire that will bring the hostages home and preventing conflict from spreading beyond what it already has. We're also committed to the security of our personnel and partners in the region, including Iraq.
Now, about half of the ballistic missiles, between 115 and 130 that Iran launched, either failed to launch or they crashed before reaching their targets. According to the Wall Street Journal, at least 9 missiles did breach Israel's air defenses and struck 2 air bases, but no significant damage apparently was reported. And the U.S. brought down more than 80 one-way attack drones and at least 6 ballistic missiles. So is that the end of it? Is that the end of it now? We're not going to get drawn into World War III? Israel blew up their base and killed their general. They launched a bunch of drones back. At the UN, Iran representative Amir Saidi Iravani says his nation's military operation was narrow in scope and has been completed with no intention of further action. A2.
Iran's operation was entirely in the exercise of Iran's inherent right to self-defense as outlined in Article 51 of the Charter of the United Nations and recognized by international law. This concluded action was necessary and proportionate. It was precise and only targeted military objectives and carried out carefully to minimize the potential for escalation and prevent civilian harm.
Now, here's what you need to know. Joe Biden told Benjamin Netanyahu in a phone call yesterday that the United States will not support any Israeli counterattack against Iran after this. According to a White House official, Biden said to Netanyahu, "You got to win. Take the win." The White House is very worried that Israel's response to Iran's response to Israel bombing their embassy could lead to a regional war with hellacious consequences. And obviously, a rushed response would be a mistake. But will Israel respond? That is the question reporters had today for National Security spokesperson John Kirby, because this goes way beyond not wanting Biden's election to blow up. We don't want the planet to blow up. Here's John Kirby earlier today.
John, Israel is reportedly looking at options that would send a message to Iran but not cause casualties. Is the administration presenting alternatives to Netanyahu?
This is an Israeli decision to make, whether and how they'll respond to what Iran did on Saturday, and we're going to leave it squarely with them.
Their decision to make, but are you making suggestions?
We are not involved in their decision-making process about a potential response.
And just... Is the president, does he have any plans to speak to Netanyahu again?
I don't have anything on the calendar to speak to, but look, I mean, they've spoken frequently over the last 6 months. They'll absolutely speak again at the appropriate time.
So, yeah, the White House really doesn't want Israel to respond. Now, their war cabinet member, Benny Gantz, vowed the country would exact the price for Iran's weekend attack, even though apparently no one got killed. But there's a risk that if America keeps on defending Israel against more Iranian attacks, maybe it won't be as successful next time. And maybe we won't be able to intercept nearly all the drones and missiles, miraculously, at the same time as well. It's getting scary. On CBS Face the Nation, Congressman Michael McCaul from Texas, well, he's not scared. He doesn't just think Israel needs to respond. He's got some pretty specific targets in mind.
This is a choice for Israel. We cannot have daylight between us. We had some daylight prior to this when we were joined with them. And I know Gantz came out with a statement saying we want to be joined with our regional partners.
I mean, the war cabinet members, yes. Who is more centrist than Prime Minister Netanyahu.
I think a proportionate response here. I think one option would be to take out the facilities where these drones and rockets came from and also destroy the manufacturing facilities that build the drones and rockets, not just for Israel's sake, but also for Ukraine's sake, because these rockets and these drones are being bought by Russia and they're killing Ukrainians every day. What happened in Israel last night happens in Ukraine every night.
That is a Republican congressman encouraging America to engage in more bloodshed so Joe Biden can get blamed for World War III. It's scary. Iran's Supreme National Security Council said in a statement yesterday, they have no plans to have any more military action against Israel. But it warned, if Israel bombs Iran or their embassies again, it will receive at least a tenfold response. Folks, I'll never get tired of saying it. Putting extreme religious conservatives in power, be they extreme Christian conservatives, extreme Jewish conservatives, or extreme Muslim conservatives, putting them in power anywhere in the world, always leads to the opposite of what their holy books teach. Please remember, the liberal and moderate Christians, Jews, and Muslims are getting along just fine right now and not getting any airtime for it. Let's go to the phones. We want to know what you guys think. We're at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. David in Santa Fe on line one. Welcome. You're on Sirius XM.
Hey. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm doing good. How about you, man?
Not too shabby. What's going on?
I understand you had a great show the other night.
What'd you hear, man?
Well, I heard it from you and then, of course, Stephanie. But, you know, Friday night when Stephanie was on those few minutes with you, that was one of the funniest things. And I had one of the biggest laughs I've had in quite a while.
Well, I want to be honest. It was only a few minutes, but it felt like many hours. That just dragged on and on and on like a dying marriage. Just went on and on for me.
it was
a riot. She was on the show for a good half hour. I had stuff. I had content planned, but I had to burn.
And then Rachel came in from L.A. And then Stephanie started doing her Valley Girl thing. It was so funny, man. Just loved it. I love the spontaneity of that.
Right on. And I'm glad. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I love when Stephanie does the show. It's hard to pin that lady down. Not to use roofies.
I know, man. I know. And then the evil cretin today fell asleep. I mean, that's like Jabba the Hutt. Like a Jabba the Hutt falling and starting to doze off there for a minute.
That is how Leia was able to free Han Solo from the carbonite, because Jabba the Hutt finally passed out. So keep that in mind.
That's great. Okay, I just wanted to say hi, John.
Thanks,
man. One of the great things about your show is so many great women call in. You know,
oh, God, yes.
It's a good balance. It's great. You know, like...
No, and there's no balance. We need more great women. I got all you cretinous men calling in all the time.
More than men, definitely. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people just don't stay up that late. You know, when we do these shows, we have the meet and greets afterwards. And I live in New York City, so I don't get to meet that many SiriusXM subscribers because the people in New York City don't have cars. So we do these wonderful meet and greet parties after the show, and I meet so many listeners. I meet so many women who say, I'd call in, but it's too late. And I beg them all to call in because, you know, it can't just be Mitch from Kent State taking up all the attention here.
I know. That's right, man. Let's the Grateful Dead song. That's right. The women are smarter. So I really appreciate that part of it, too, John. It's great.
Thank you. I need women to be smarter. I'm that's one of the few things in the world I can count on.
Well, I'm hoping that I'm in the right place at the right time to see one of your live shows with Stephanie this year and all the gang.
Well, we'd love to have you. We are playing all over the place.
I'm actually in Lake Tahoe right now, and then I'm going to be back in Santa Fe in May. And I guess you have an Albuquerque one coming up. So if
Albuquerque's coming up in May next month, although I'd rather be with you in Lake Tahoe, to tell you the truth. That sounds pretty nice, but yes.
This place is I've been here all winter. It's a beautiful place. This is where my sweetheart, my companion, lives. Has her house here, and
nice.
So I'm here part of the time in Santa Fe part of the time, and always appreciate your show and your wit.
Thank you. I mean,
just the stuff that comes out of nowhere just cracks me up all the time.
I steal it all from old blue collar comedy tour tapes. It's okay, but we are playing in Albuquerque on May 18th, and we'd love to have you there, man.
If I make it that soon, I'll really try to get there.
If not, I'll harass you about Phoenix in September. So I look forward to it, man. Thank you so much.
All right, John. Have a good night.
We're at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT is our number up in here. Yeah, Madison, Wisconsin, May 11th. Albuquerque, May 18th. In June, we're coming to Seattle on June 1st. June 22nd in Denver. July 13th will be in Boston. July 27th, Atlanta. August 3rd will be in New York. New York at Town Hall for the first time, baby. We're going to be in Chicago for the Democratic Convention. I think we're going to be broadcasting this show from the Democratic Convention, too. I should probably tell my producers about that at some point, because I keep hearing about it. Portland, Oregon, September 7th. Durham, North Carolina, September 21st. Phoenix on September 28th. Kansas City, for the first time ever on this tour, October 12th. L.A., November 2nd. That'll be a big one. And, of course, Inauguration Weekend, January 18th, Washington, D.C. And the next show, Saturday, April 27th in Philly. Come on down. Go to sexyliberal.com or go to livenation.com. Love to have you with us. 866-997-4748. Before the break, Joe Biden announced this morning $6.5 billion in grants to Samsung to expand chip production in the Austin area. This is huge. Okay, I know that Samsung is a South Korean company, but this investment in chip production is so we will have less dependence on China and Taiwan, and we'll be making them here. This agreement with the Commerce Department will unleash over $40 billion in investment from Samsung and cement Texas's role as a state-of-the-art semiconductor ecosystem, creating at least 21,500 jobs, leveraging up to $40 million in CHIPS funding to train and develop the local workforce, according to the White House announcement. That's right. Joe Biden set this whole thing up to be a huge manufacturing boom, change the way our computers and electronics are run, and do it all by rewarding Texas. The jobs are there. Jen Granholm keeps talking about it. This administration, infrastructure, and the CHIPS Act are doing so much for the red states. Do you think it's going to help? Do you think 21,500 new jobs in Texas will mean anything to certain folks? There's going to be an existing site in Austin that'll be propped up in a new chip manufacturing hub in Taylor, Texas. Samsung will construct a new research and development facility in Taylor and an advanced factory for packaging them, the final steps before semiconductors can be used in electronic systems. This is a huge story, and it's so goddamn boring, the news media is never going to touch it. But it's really great. And these jobs and this manufacturing will be part of Biden's first-term legacy. Quick break. We'll be right back with your calls and the lovely Miss Rhonda Hansom. This is SiriusXM. Don't go away.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is SiriusXM. I'm Fugelsang. It's so good to have you with us. Happy first day of a former president going on trial in history to all to celebrate. We're going to have a little bit of Donald Trump giving you a Civil War history lesson. It's the most enjoyable thing you'll hear for quite a while. This just in, an 81-year-old Ohio man's been charged with murder after shooting a female Uber driver who arrived at his home. The old man claimed to have endured weeks of threatening phone calls from financial scammers, and the Uber driver had been sent to his address falsely, also part of a scam. I don't know what else to say except thank God they make it so easy for unstable men to get their hands on weaponry. This is the time of the show when I get to bring in Rhonda Hansom for Doll, Dark, and Handsome Mondays. Rhonda's a great stand-up comic, writer, actor, director. She's open for Anita Baker and Diana Ross and Aretha Franklin. She does great solo shows, and every Monday we are blessed to have her here classing up the room. Miss Hansom, welcome back to SiriusXM.
I'm black, y'all!
Indeed you are. How was your weekend, goddess?
Oh my gosh, John, it was great. But you know what? I had a great set on Thursday night at the West Side Comedy Club. And who was on the bill? Who closed out the early show with me? Al Franken. It was just great. It was a lot of fun. And you know how much we love being on stage. I'm having a good time.
I'm glad Al's back doing stand-up again, because I'm looking for a middler for my tour, so I might reach out to him. That's great. Rhonda, yeah. I know you're very worried about Donald Trump, and I know you were worried about his CFO, Alan Weisselberg, who just got sentenced to 5 months in jail because he pled guilty to lying under oath during Trump's civil fraud trial. So things are going well over there.
He got 5 months, John. And you know what? He was bold enough to say that within 3 months, he could cook the commissary book so well that by the time he left, they would be interest-bearing accounts. And I think that's really a major thing that he could accomplish in his time in Rikers.
I mean, I got to be honest, I'm doing the show from L.A. and I'm a little bit heartbroken. I would have loved to have been in Manhattan today just to go to the courthouse and see the scene. Although from everything I heard, Rhonda, the amount of media there vastly outnumbered the amount of pro-Trump protesters. It turns out when it comes to the hometown crowds, he can't really pack them in like at the state fair in Idaho.
No, but the traffic is crazy. You can't even get around New York City for the people who are throwing tomatoes at his Trump Towers. But I wouldn't be surprised that there was more paparazzi and media there than protesters. And what are they protesting? That he can't dox jury members or yell about the judge's daughter? That he can't.
They're protesting that he's being held accountable. They're protesting that he's being held accountable for crimes he committed before he was president. That's it. I mean, but again, the numbers not there. I mean, I know there's a lot of guys who are probably Russian bots on social media who are upset about this, but it didn't translate to bodies showing up to demonstrate on behalf of this man. And I think that's very telling.
Well, I hope it is. Maybe he will have some fun when the sentence comes around.
Well, I want to play this little clip of Donald Trump from over the weekend, Rhonda, because he was campaigning in Pennsylvania, and obviously that's a state he needs to win. And it's a state Biden is strong in. Biden won it last time, but anything could happen right now. You know, the media is really, really seeming to want Donald Trump back. Journalists, not so much, but the media, they like their Trump-sized chaos ratings. So he was talking about the Civil War and gave some history lessons about Gettysburg. And I want to play this clip for you because I think it's one of the more remarkable pieces of audio I've ever heard a president say in my lifetime. I think you want to hear this. And again, when you listen to this, it's like, show me you know nothing about history. Show me you know nothing about Robert E. Lee. Show me you have no appreciation of the Civil War or the violence at Gettysburg. Show me that you think your followers are all gullible idiots who'll believe anything you make up improvising it on the podium. But most of all, this is a clip about a man who spent the last 50 years in an insulated bubble surrounded by supplicants and sycophants that he pays to tell him he's brilliant. Listen to what happens when you're surrounded by too many yes men for too long, no matter how stupid you really are. This is Donald Trump explaining Gettysburg.
The Union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too late.
Oh.
You know, John, the saddest thing about that is that he actually plagiarized that from George Santos.
First off, Robert E. Lee wasn't Scottish. He didn't say follow me, boys. Robert E. Lee was indicted for treason. He was charged with wickedly, maliciously, and traitorously carrying war against the Constitution and the peace and dignity of the United States. Who does that sound like, Rhonda?
the great orange one, the great orange one. He actually is on the level. He speaks on the level. And I'm clear about this, John. He speaks on the level of his most ardent supporters. They actually, that frequency, no matter how much like a word salad it sounds, is actually their sweet spot.
I don't know. I mean, maybe for the Confederates, that's true. Talking about how unfairly Robert E. Lee is treated, that'll go over well with the base. But he said this in Pennsylvania. Like, I'm going to assume, even at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania, that there's Trump fans who would have supported the Union during that particular conflict. By the way, calling it beautiful, 7,000 men were slaughtered and 33,000 were wounded. That was 50,000 people got shot there. And he's calling it beautiful in so many ways.
Well, yeah, he thinks that battle was beautiful, but E. Jean Carroll is like, has no beauty whatsoever. He has his priorities set.
Oh, I'm so tired of people who can't take the Civil War or slavery seriously in this country, Miss Handsome. I'm just so tired of it.
Well, no, but I'm sorry that you're tired of it. It's an American tradition, John. Slavery is not to be taken seriously. It is not. It was a major economic engine of this country. And
that is correct.
You know, when it was lost, when it was taken away, we have scrambled every way, you know, including mass incarceration, to maintain the economic basis that gave us.
It is so true. And Donald Trump can't stop praising their white supremacists, praising their treason flag, praising naming American military bases after men who are famous for trying to kill American military members. I just can't even. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, please.
I want to. You know, I love the Army, your Army of the Night. But, you know, he has no problem contradicting himself. Didn't he go to a fast food restaurant in a black neighborhood to try to pander to the people there?
Well, where to begin? He went to a Chick-fil-A. And a black woman who is apparently a right-wing activist was already there, and she was preordained to come hug him, and it was set up. Michaela Montgomery is her name, and Fox News ran this over and over and over again, the footage of Donald Trump hugging this black woman to show how African-Americans can't wait and they're all in for Trump. Like, literally, she's a paid conservative actor who was paid to hug this guy in a Chick-fil-A, and that means the masses. To me, Ms. Handsome, it tells me they're scared.
Definitely, and I don't think that the milkshakes are going to bring all his votes to the yard. They're not going to bring his votes to the yard.
I mean, last time in 2020, Donald Trump only had the support of 3% of black women. And, you know, two of those were Diamond and Silk. All right. Let me go to the phones. Mitch in Kent State, you've been on forever. Welcome. You're on with the great Rhonda Handsome.
Thank you, Joe. Love you, Rhonda.
Love you, Mitch.
By the way, thank you for that post on the nation and being so divided. That just tells it all, that post you made with the drinking fountains back in the day.
Rhonda's post, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it says it all. You know, it's a reminder, you know, that things were that way, and it could be that way again if we're not careful. Because this is just these people have this, I don't know, this yearning for the old days. You know, the way back when there's this mindset with some of these right wing. The extremists that's what this whole Make America Great Again thing is.
But once again, the media fails us, because it's the media's job to go up to these people all the time, be they politicians or pundits or voters, and say, when was America great? What is the period you are referring to when America was previously great? Because I can guarantee whatever time frame they think America was great in, it was not great for people who were not heterosexual white males during that time.
Just thank you, Ronald, for that reminder, because we should always think back. And
I like that graphic too, Ronda. I saw you had posted that showing the segregated drinking fountains and saying, "Oh, we've been this divided before."
Yep.
It's also a real thing.
Yeah,
it is for sure. On the testifying thing for him, you know, Jake Tapper, I guess the CNN guy, said something about didn't think that Trump should testify. But you know what? He gets free testimony every time he has an open mic, you know, before and after, out there in front of the courthouse. And besides that, if he did testify, it'd be the same old, same old, same old, as far as he gets around the questions and
He will not testify for the same two reasons. They never want him to testify. His lawyers are terrified of, one, him lying under oath, and two, him telling the truth under oath. And those two reasons are why he, unless it's absolutely necessary, which it was on tape in the fraud case, I would be shocked if they would let him go before a judge and testify. I'd be shocked if he puts his hand on a Bible.
Yeah, I wouldn't let him. No, but, you know, it'd be a clown show. I mean, it would be, you know, it would be almost like a Saturday Night Live skit, him testifying anyway. But I don't know. This is just so bizarre a world. It really is, John.
When he went on tape in the E. Jean Carroll case, you know, when he was saying how ugly she was and he wasn't attracted to her, and they showed her a picture of E. Jean Carroll, and he thought it was his second wife, Marla. Twice he thought it was. Yeah. So his testimonies don't go as well as his fans might think.
Right, for sure. Two things real quick, if I may, John. Also, happy birthday to Akron's own Black Keys, Pat Carney. Today's his birthday.
Oh.
Pat Carney.
Happy birthday.
Black Keys.
Yep. Yeah, I love the Black Keys. I didn't know you were a Black Keys fan, Mitch. You're a Black Keys fan?
Yeah, right next door here, John. They played here in Kent back in the day before the...
Do you have that El Camino album? Do you have that record?
I got it on CD.
It's fantastic.
I have it on CD, yes, thank you.
Dan Auerbach should produce every record the Rolling Stones ever make for the rest of their career.
I've heard you say that, yeah. And, of course, my kids were into him before I was, so that's
right
how
on.
I
should hope so.
And also, friend of the show, Mark Riccadonna. I just want to give a shout-out to Mark. He's coming back home here to Youngstown, so we're going to go see him this week.
Mark Riccadonna.
He's my pal. I really love him.
He's a good guy. Yeah, great comic.
So we're going to check him out this week. But
right on.
That's about it. But thank you.
Okay.
Ronda, keep on keeping on.
I'll do my best, Mitch.
Thank you. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Mitch. Good to hear from you. 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT. Ronda, you know, last week, House Speaker Mike Johnson, Trump's little dirty Johnson, he went down to kiss Trump's ring at Mar-a-Lago and essentially grovel to have Trump approve of him enough that he can keep his job for the rest of the year. And look, I'm enjoying Lauren Boebert's final year in Congress. I appreciate, you know, that this guy doesn't want to get fired either. But on Fox News, I just want to play this. Here's Trump's dirty little Johnson recapping his ring ceremony with Trump down at Mar-a-Lago. And he hopes he's going to get the rose. Here he is.
You know, I had a great visit with him at Mar-a-Lago on Friday, and he and I are 100% united on these big agenda items. And when you talk about aid to Ukraine, he's introduced the loan lease concept, which is a really important one that I think has a lot of consensus, as well as these other ideas, the Repo Act, which we've discussed, which is seizing the assets of corrupt Russian oligarchs to help pay for this resistance. I think these are ideas that I think can get consensus, and that's what we've been working through. We'll send our package, we'll put something together and send it to the Senate and get these obligations completed.
Rhonda, I will tattoo MAGA on my face if Donald Trump ever gets behind seizing the assets of corrupt Russian oligarchs to pay for the Ukraine defense.
How the heck are they going to do that? And I love the way he says they're 100% united, probably like the Golden Bachelor couple. If they're together at all, it'll be for a photo op, and then the divorce proceedings will
be. Oh, my God. That's what happened, right? Now, I've heard about that. The Golden Bachelor is where really old people, which I guess for The Bachelor means they're over 35, really old people, like 38-year-olds, find love. And apparently, this couple found love, and people sat through all this, and they got married. And what happened? It only lasted 3 months. I'm shocked.
They found that they are fast and fantastic friends. They just don't want to be married to each other.
Wow. Wow. It's great fun. They can learn that. I'm turning into a Republican. I'm so mad about this mockery of traditional marriage. Well, you know, it goes to show reality shows are to actual relationships what pro wrestling is to actual sports. Let me go to Bill in New Jersey on line 3. Bill, welcome. You're on Sirius XM with the fabulous, fine, and funny Miss Rhonda Hansom.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
John?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to know why you never play any Sean DVS 7.0. Huh?
I don't know. Sean DFS 7.0? Maybe because I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. I would guess that's the culprit.
He was there at the rally today with the tens of cultists, rando cultists that showed up. He's the conservative rapper, and he uses that name.
Oh. So he's a Christian conservative rapper. What's his name again? Sean 7.0?
It says Sean his Twitter.
DVS 7.0.
His Twitter profile says that he is a rapper / spoken word poet / Christian, conservative Latino activist, and Christians have nothing in common with Democrats, John.
I'm guessing DVS his music is 7.0. Really interesting.
Yeah. Well, he was down there with Giuliani's son and what's her name? Laura Loomer.
Yes.
It was pretty insane.
Laura Loomer was saying horrible things about the judge's wife, and Trump was retweeting those while in the courtroom because he wants to violate the gag order because he wants to be thrown in jail so he can try to get another delay or declare a mistrial or something.
Right. You know, most people.
I haven't seen a guy who wants to go to jail this badly since Adam Sank, and that was for very different reasons.
Right. And most people who believe that they're innocent don't hold off trials for months and months and not get it over with.
Yes, most people who are innocent want to have their trial as soon as possible to have their name cleared, don't they?
Exactly. But what I was going about originally was about Israel.
Please.
I think it's okay to sell them defensive weapons only. No offensive weapons. It's fine with me. They can shoot as many rockets out of the sky as they want to, but nothing that's going to do any more damage than that.
I'd agree with that, but good luck. Good luck.
Well,
America works for them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, I don't know when we became a satellite of Israel, but that certainly is the case, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. You know, congratulations to Bibi Netanyahu on being the president of the United States.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those Jews over here who hates him, and it doesn't make me not loyal to Judaism or anything like that.
Oh, dude, I think the Jews over there are well on the way to hating him as well. I mean, a year ago, it was young people and leftists protesting. Right now, I mean, Rhonda, we see this in the news. It's every level of Israeli society has had it with this guy, which is very encouraging.
But he knows that war will keep him entrenched.
Most likely. Mm-hmm. I think the White House is hoping that they have early special elections and he's removed from office and that's what ends the war. I don't know. That's a little passive for my taste. I'd like to see the White House be a bit more forceful.
No,
because they're literally starving people to death on purpose in Gaza right now.
Yeah. Well, to be more forceful, I've said this before, they should trade Netanyahu for the hostages.
It's a good one.
What do you think?
You know what? I bet there's Israelis who would get behind that too.
I know. He's messed up. He's like Trump with a little more than half a brain. He's disgusting.
I mean, he's smart enough to stay in power for 20 years, calculating enough to keep his power going year after year by promising to keep Israelis safe from Palestine. Oops, except for this one time. I mean, you know, it's this whole racket. He's had Hamas stay in power because he knows that that's his best chance of keeping power forever and never having to have any kind of independent state for the Palestinians. If you have a convenient bad guy, this whole region, I'm so sick of all the leaders of all these countries.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure Netanyahu Rhonda? Will blame something on his chief of cybersecurity. Did you see where he exposed himself? Not sexually, John. No, he revealed himself via a book that he wrote, and it went directly to his Google account with his true identity.
I didn't know that.
Yes, his chief of intelligence, I'm not certain now, but I think it was the same guy who scoffed and said poo poo when someone mentioned there might be an invasion by Hamas hang gliders. But
oh yeah, and Egypt told him, and America told him, and Iran told him, and everyone knew this was coming, and he did nothing. Sort of like George W. Bush. was told when we were going to have a terrorism attack, and Bush did nothing. The terrorism attack happened, and Bush, like Netanyahu, retaliated so inappropriately that it lost us all the goodwill we had earned from the terrorism attack in the first place.
I don't think anybody's going to have any goodwill at the end when the dust clears from this fiasco. No one can look good from this.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, I was going to say the same thing. Is if he was out of the picture like 10 years ago, we'd be living in a different world. There would be probably a two-state thing going on.
Oh, if Ariel Sharon had woken up from his coma, we'd be in a different world.
I saw him once when I was there in 1970. I had Passover dinner with the soldiers, and he was a general or something, walked around with a dog. But anyway,
I mean, he was a guy who was a bloodthirsty warmonger who became a champion for peace. And then, of course, he had to have the fucking stroke and die in a coma and never came back out. He was the last time I had hope that there might be some kind of positive resolution in Israel. Bill, thank you for the call. Right. We got to hit a break. Rhonda, will you stay with us?
Absolutely.
If you are on hold, do not hang up. I will thank you profusely in 2 minutes when we come back. This is SiriusXM Progress. Don't go away.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with the lovely Miss Rhonda Handsome. Rhonda, where are you playing live? How can the riffraff see you? How do we follow you and know what you're doing? Which one of these?
I want the riffraff to follow me everywhere. If you're aging magnificently, you can follow me on Facebook. I'm on Instagram at Rhonda Full. That's two L's in Rhonda Full. And on X, actually it's known as Twitter, I'm at Rhonda Handsome, like a handsome man without the D.
You don't need the D, baby. You don't need it. Let me go to Andy in California. You're on line one. Andy, thank you for your patience. You're on SiriusXM. Welcome.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Nice to talk to you again. It's nice and nice to hear you're in L.A. I'm in Culver City myself. We've talked
Lucky you.
Before. I saw you on the Catherine Rule show, was it, a couple weeks ago?
Stephanie Rule on NBC?
Stephanie Rule, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that was it. That was quite interesting with a few other comedian and sages.
Well, I've done it with many sages, but I've never been on it with another comedian. They don't let us into that building more than one at a time.
Probably for good reason.
yes.
Part of why I called was just to say hello, but part of it was because you mentioned some video crew gangbangs that happen whenever something wild or eventful happens. And I was part of the news media mob on the notorious OJ trial. And poor OJ, I have to thank OJ. He made me a ton of money in those 3 years and many others too. It got so bad that people would call me up and say, "Are you working today?" And I would say, "Yes." And they said, "How late?" I said, "I don't know, 7. And they'd say, "Pause, we got something for you."
Rhonda, we talked a lot about this last week. There's no way to explain to anybody under 30 what it was like and how the hype around this trial changed almost every part of our culture.
It was a cottage industry, John. It became
so many jobs created. The industry was reformed by this.
There were people we talked to. There was one woman we went to interview several times who just, I hate to be really sexist, but she looked like a bimbo. But she had a PhD in some kind of psychology or so she claimed. So we'd go there and ask her questions about what was going on in OJ's mind as if she had any real idea. But she would talk about it for a while. And then her nebbishy husband would show up and try to get his face in on TV. But it was just, this was the kind of, it was like Vincent Bugliosi. I think we interviewed him about five times. It was just like
that must
everybody
have been interesting.
Wanted a piece of the action.
Yeah. Well, he's a fascinating guy. He's a good talker, too. But I mean, you know, Rhonda, like we talked, everyone talked about race with the OJ trial, but no one talked about class and no one talked about abuse of women, which to me was what it was about more than anything, that this man had been physically violent to her many times. And, you know, I thought OJ was unconvictable in that case. I actually thought it was the right verdict because the defense did such a masterful job and it showed it's not about black or white. It's about lack of green in our judicial system.
I miss Johnny Cochran. I really do, because we need him. Our country needs him, and black people need a lawyer who is that competent and that strong. He did an incredible job, Johnny Cochran.
My mom read Johnny Cochran's book and Chris Darden's book after that trial, and she came away a huge fan of both men for very different reasons.
Oh, it was more than a circus. I mean, it was Ringling Brothers, the Big Apple, and everything else in between. It went on and on, and it really became a black and white thing when, as you say, there were so many other aspects to it, especially about our judicial system and the racism that is inherent in the California Police Department.
Oh, yeah. And Andy, let's not forget, we have OJ to thank for Kardashians becoming household names. So let's never let go of our gratitude for that economy.
And a few others.
Greta Van Susteren.
I didn't realize how conservative she was at the time. Mm. Every morning when we got the job, as we did several times, of being part of the crew that would just wait for arrivals into the courthouse, all the prosecution people would be in a armored car that would just drive into a secret entrance and they would have to deal with us. But Shapiro and Johnny Cochran would go down the steps and say hi to every single crew.
Yeah. They were smart and they were your performers. Andy, we got to go, but I thank you for the call. Rhonda, thank you so much for classing up our show on yet another Monday.
My pleasure. I love it. And I love your Army of the Night, John.
This is SiriusXM. I'm John Fugel saying peace.